This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Substitutions. Move to approve. There's a motion and a second to approve the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. First item on the agenda is two appointments to the Lake Desmond Advisory Board, one representing recreation, the other conservation and the environment. And I see Cheryl, the Lake Desmond Operating Director, is here. Cheryl, do you want to come forward and share any insight with the commissioners on those two slots, or?
Good morning. I think their applications are pretty self-explanatory. There's one candidate for the environmental position, who's Kevin Michelina, and he's been serving on that board. There's two candidates for the recreational. One is Darren Litton, who is currently on the board, and the second one is Brett Nickett, who has a lot of information about the lake from his past tenure with Texaco, from his tenure with Road and Bridge, and he's been a pretty active recreationist out there for the last 35 years or so. He kind of has an idea of what the lake's about, so you have three great candidates for those positions.
Commissioners, Kevin did indicate willingness to serve in either, but we rolled him down to be reappointed to that position, which he currently serves in. So you could deal with that appointment first and then deal with the recreation or vice versa. What is your pleasure?
I'd go ahead and make a motion to approve Kevin Michelina as environmental board member.
I'll second that.
There is a motion and a second to reappoint Kevin Michelina to a two-year term on the Lake Desmond Advisory Board, which would run through the 1st of April in 2027. Any discussion on his nomination? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, we now have before us a two-year, again, this is through 2027, seat representing recreation. Much pleasure. Opportunities there. So there is a motion and a second to reappoint Aaron Lynn to a two-year term on the Lake Desmond Advisory Board. It will run through 2027. Any discussion? All right, hearing no further discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And I would just add that Bob Ralston, who was the Sheridan County appointee to that board, served on that board since its inception in 2013 or 14, whenever it was, has resigned, and Commissioner Lonnie Wright, I believe is his name, is going to assume that position.
good. There's certainly a lot of interest in the lake and the lake water right now, so we look forward to that work done, even what it was intended to do.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Cheryl. I'd like to welcome Jim Waller, the county planner, to present the Culp Minor subdivision.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually gave Kristen an entire group, just copied the report, so I'm fine, but I made a simplified map. So this kind of simplifies it a little bit. The Culp Minor subdivision exists today. It was a family subdivision, in essence, that didn't qualify for a family exemption, so they had to subdivide it and create the area that's in pink. And the area that's in blue is the boundary area where they're going to adjust. But because it's a platted subdivided lot, you have to amend the plat. So we require really 2 weeks process with planning and zoning, present that amended final plat, which shows the area, run it through a plat approval process on that final plat, and then bring it to the county commissioners. Got into a delay because the landowners are Tim and Tammy Culp. Seth and Cheyenne Mallett are, Cheyenne is their daughter. They live here, their parents live in Texas. So we had a little bit of a time struggle to get the plat signed. Planning and zoning saw this in February, and if we would have had all the signatures, you guys probably have saw it in February. So all the signatures are on the final plat. And what I highlighted is that original Culp Minor subdivision. So the new Mylar, in essence, statute requires county zoning adjustments to be merged with the parcels already owned, so you're not creating new parcels, so they're just amending it. But that blue area they would transfer, it's 1.45 acres. Overall, the existing pink area is 13.92 acres, so the lot will end up being 15.37. And then their other kid would like to, another parcel, so we have another minor subdivision that they're doing for another child. Like I said, with the family exemption, the 10-year timeline is pretty difficult to meet. And then your retention time is out there as well on the family exemption, so you have to keep them for quite a while before you can do something different. We tried to simplify it as much as possible, but at the end of the day, when you have a boundary line adjustment and a subdivision, you got to somehow figure out a way to amend that permanent record in the vault. So planning and zoning is recommended that you guys approve that subdivision, and I figured the map might simplify it a little bit easier, and then you can kind of see this is off of Elsom Ranch Road. Those were all like almost 70 acre parcels at one time, and then there's a few family pieces that have been split off of everything out there over the course of like the last 25 years. So anyway, I would recommend the commission approve this final plat.
Mr. Chairman, you have a report from planning and zoning. Any additional questions for Mr. Waller?
Well, you guys have been reviewing this for a little bit. I think everything seems to be good. I make a motion that we approve the Culp Minor subdivision.
One second.
There is a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Jim, my question, the next lot that's going to come before us, is that going to be to the northeast, west of this current?
It'll be this area right here. So Seth and Cheyenne are going to end up owning this, and then Cheyenne's, I think it's her sister, they're going to do this, and it's the same acreage size. And then there's a spot in the middle. On the aerial imagery, you can't really tell, but they had, on the sketch plan they gave us last month, you can see where the little driveway approaches into each one of the two lots. So it's pretty cut and dry, but they do have limits once they get to that threshold of how many minor subdivision lots can you create before all of a sudden you have to look at it. We did discuss, just so you are aware, Mr. Chairman, we talked about that sketch plan, be a little bit more proactive with some warnings about YDOT and whether or not YDOT would require turning lanes. And what's that mechanism for having to widen out that approach for Elsom Ranch Road? And it's hinged on houses, so 10 houses, they'll definitely have to look at more growth, let's say. So.
And off the top of your head, do you know the size of that easement that is Elsom Ranch Road that goes into that?
60 foot.
It's 60 foot, okay.
Yeah, and that's where the road surface right now, we're teetering on, once you have a bunch more houses down in there, they'd have to do some road improvements, but there had to be area for the right-of-way to do everything you need to. There are covenants that limit how small everything can go. So these are much larger than the density of what they defined in the covenants. What they said is, at the time this was created, the state law still allowed landowners to, quote, create a parcel, split it off, and it wasn't a subdivision. And that went away in 2000. And so then we've had exemptions since then that have allowed people to split property. The family one was notorious, and there have been some family splits out there. As you move on, the legislature has tightened up the exemption use. So today what we see is, we can create 5 minor subdivision lots out of a unit of land, and we define that based on time so that the commissioners know, just because you created a lot like 2 years ago, maybe that's creating a situation where the entire area should have been a major subdivision. And I think that's the key that we have to police, I guess, is a better way of looking at it. So it's gonna get a little bit harder and more difficult as we go down Traving Road. But I had somebody ask me, why do we look at the covenants? And it's because the covenants define the density in a lot of cases. And I really don't want to be in a situation where we have subdividing and we're caught in the middle between a civil action. So I let everybody know if there's any civil action or something like that, get it addressed first before we deal with subdividing, so it doesn't create a pain in the process. So the commissioners are aware. There's lots of questions about subdividing, and I think it's just going to get more and more and more as the state continues to see people wanting to come and move into the state. So just taking it as it goes. We'll definitely have to keep an eye on the areas and how it defines with a unit of land. So
I don't have any further questions. Any additional questions for Mr. Waller?
Nope.
Commissioners, before you is a motion to approve the Culp Minor subdivision. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I asked Kristen just to put down here on just giving you guys a quick update for just planning and zoning. I shouldn't take too long, but I wanted to make sure you knew where we were at as far as what's working on with the comprehensive plan and where that's sitting. We're 5 months in, I think, since our kickoff meeting in September, because we had a delay from that committee putting together. We have really a lot of interest in the attendees of the committee. I think most of our meetings have at least 12 at minimum. We had the snowstorm hit us, and we had a little bit of less people on that day. The meeting prior to that, we were only missing one person. So again, we have 17 total. Lots of good discussion. There's some facts that have been presented and kind of real time that will go into the updating the land use plan. It's kind of interesting to see the discussion as I enter various things that are happening culturally, socially with the county, demographically with the county, the impacts to roads, decisions down with the gravel pit in Natrona County, and just those decisions, because we have a gravel pit that's kind of a notorious little sore subject in some instances. And I'd like to just make sure the commissioners know right now, we'll have demographic data presented to the committee at our next meeting, I'm assuming. Then we'll get into more of the other facts associated with the plan, and then start a open house process where this is all presented to the open house. The survey that was done, I have no idea how that went. That was just kind of an idea of how we were going to try to get and collect as much information and data and make it as cost effective as possible. So Most of it was online, but as of our meeting, before we even launched the survey, there had been 177 surveys submitted a month ago. And so, I don't know where we sit today, but I had a number of paper copies submitted as well. Good information, just going in to kind of reaffirm what do we want the county to do, and where do we need to look at as far as growth and development. And no, it's not a push to have regulations, not at all. It's a goal to allow you guys to assist and say, what do we need to do? I mean, we're talking about two areas that 25 years ago, no houses existed. And that's a way of looking at it. And then 25 years later, what's the number of houses that we're talking about? And so it's kind of nice to be able to talk to Road and Bridge and look at our housing or addressing and classify it by date or put a metric in there, you know, how many houses are on this road, how many people logically live per house, what's going on for real-time impacts to Scott. So I think that was kind of nice to be able to incorporate that with Y2 consultants and say this data is kind of how we've been using this data to help us guide and direct what do we need to do in the future. So we'll see what happens. We do have a major phase three of a subdivision out at North Shore PUD that got submitted, is going through planning and zoning. That is the first major subdivision. It'll be 12 lots since 2010. So 15 years, we haven't had a major subdivision. And again, five lots or more, well, six lots and more is a major subdivision. So Dennis has decided to pursue the entire part of what North Shore planned unit development was initially presented. It's a 60 lot area, and they only platted 48 lots today. So they'll get the 12 more as they move through the process and just tackle a subdivision as we go. It's inside of his entire area. So that entire review is pretty much completed, if you want to know the truth, as far as how many lots can he get out of that acreage and where can they be located. So just wanted to make sure the board knew that that was going on right now, too. I don't know if you have any questions.
Did you guys get the wells figured out? We were talking about it lately.
With the water rights?
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to, Nelson is probably going to pursue trying to get the abandonment because it needs to be done. It was the way the notification was done, I'm assuming Board of Control said, hey, we want you to re-notify, and that was slipped through the cracks. And then because of their meeting schedule, they just pulled it off of their docket and removed it, said we're not going to take any action, and just removed it from their agenda, and then took motion in that order, and they said they removed it without prejudice. It could be brought again. And I think it's the water rights are partially under the lake, and they have to deal with the water rights, and they never got addressed in 2006. So here we are, you know, 19 years later, we still have surface water rights severed that are of record, I guess, on the land, but haven't been applied to the land probably since before the interstate went in. We still have to address them. So we're trying to make sure that Board of Control can come up with a process to ensure that the water rights get addressed. But there is a delay. They only meet quarterly, and you know, that's a massive pickup with subdivision review right now. But the catch on the state statute is the commissioner, before they could submit it to the Board of Control, but the way the action is required, you have to show evidence that the Board of Control has taken action on the water rights before the subdivision is approved. So they'll have to address it. And I think Brent Bennett with Nelson agreed that we should make sure the water rights are addressed. DEQ doesn't have any issues with water and sewer based on the study that was done 20 years ago. So that should be fine. And then we were talking, as a courtesy, I let them know that they should go talk to the fire district. They did talk to the fire district in 2006. There's a dry hydrant that was agreed upon out there, but I obviously would like to make sure that they go to discuss subdividing with the fire district. We have those apparatuses, you know, those hydrants and various tanks everywhere, but nobody knows what's the status of them. And I think the intention was that those would be available for fire protection, but if we can at least start that conversation on a subdivision with the fire district, then we'll know a lot more open and transparent. So.
We look forward to the resolution of the water issue, and
I wish we had a better way of looking at the lake today than we did then, but we don't. So, lots of interest in that lake. But, let me know if you guys need anything, and like I said, planning and zoning, we have a committee meeting coming up in a week, and then planning and zoning had to move their meeting to be on April 8th due to where spring break falls, which will work out with the board members and have kids, and we'll just process North Shore's phase three just like it was before. Most of the data is in the original file from when Kenry did it, and I did speak with DEQ. There is a lot of protections we have to look at with septic in that lake that's right there, and so that standard is really across the board for all the any lot that would go into the North Shore. So that's the big, I'd say the big condition on subdividing out there is the water. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Thanks, Jim.
Mm-hmm. All right, our next agenda item, we'd like to welcome our new district ranger for the Powder River District of the U.S. Forest Service. So, Mr. Wallace, please come forward and introduce yourself. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So, as you said, I'm John Wallace, new district ranger here. Been here going on week four. So it's nice to be back. Was here back in 2021, kind of served in the acting capacity in the same position. And it's nice to see some familiar faces in the office. And it's there's some projects that are still in the books that when I was here before. So hopefully we can work through some of those and get those taken care of in my time here. I do have some items to go through for district updates, but just wanted to hear if there's anything that you had on your mind that on the Forest Service side that I might be able to answer before I kind of go into the updates.
I guess I'll start with just general concern with the upheaval in Washington and things that we're hearing, very limited budget for recreation, little to no money for trail maintenance on the Bighorns. I've under the impression that normally the Bighorn National Forest receives about $60,000 to pump and service the comfort stations, that Andrew's gonna get about $15,000 for the entire forest, that you are not gonna be allowed to use your Cabin Act money this year, that you're being told to hold on to that for another year. So just if you could kind of update us on where you're sitting at in terms of budget, staffing, and then we can talk roadless, dispersed camping. Our road and bridge supervisor is right behind you, who does a lot of work. If you have any updates on where we are on the Crazy Woman Bridge, any of those things. So I know we're peppering you with a lot of stuff, but we're just, number one, we're very thankful that you're here. It's critical that as cuts are made in Washington, that is fantastic. But cuts cannot be made in the field offices for the people that are on the ground who are actually maintaining the trails, approving the timber sales, and making sure that people have a positive outdoor rec experience.
Right. So, as you know, we had our continuous resolution passed last Friday and signed into law. So, we don't know what the impacts of that are yet. We don't have the final numbers, but we are working through personnel, trying to see what we have and what we may lose here in the near future, and how we can come together, not necessarily as a district, but as a forest, to meet the needs. Recreation is a big component, and it does concern us. You know, there's obviously more people coming to the forest than there are of us that take care of it. So it's definitely something that's on our mind. And I'm not going to say we have a solution yet, but we are working on trying to figure out how we can take care of it, meet the needs, keep things open, you know, get the facilities cleaned and maintained so they are usable. So that's what I can offer today. But we are, but it is, like I said, it is something that we are very concerned about as well. So going back to your Crazy Woman Canyon Bridge, that is scheduled to be worked on this summer. There's two aspects of it. One is on the county side and the other is on the Forest Service side. Last time when I talked to Chris Wolfing, the forest engineer, I can't remember what he said. I think he said the county is going to do theirs first starting in June. And then we're going to do ours later on after that. It's the same contractor, so they're just going to start bottom work up and work their way up. Sounds like the county's bridge may take a couple, 3 weeks. Ours will only take a week to two. So it should be, there'll be an impact, but hopefully maybe a month total. Maybe a little over a month time span where that can't, where that bridge, the road would be inaccessible. So, but it'll still be open. People can still walk on it, and you know, you just won't be able to potentially drive a full size vehicle on it. So, hopefully by July, weather depending, that'll all be done. So, and then some of the other things that are going on is we still have an active timber sale up on the hill with our Rabbit Creek Integrated Resource Timber Subcontract, and they are still operating for another couple weeks, weather dependent, and they're going to pull out for spring breakup and then come back in when that's over and then continue logging all the way through the summer and we'll get that done this year. So we're on schedule, looking really good up there, a lot of good work. And then, so we're also, you wouldn't know it, but you know, we are in a moderate drought. Doesn't make sense, but so we are, and a lot of our $1,000 fuels froze this year, so they're going to make them really tender once things start drying out. So we are concerned about the fire season. Obviously, any moisture that we get between now and then is helping, but we don't know what the fire season is going to bring. And so, you know, hopefully we'll get a lot of spring rains, but not guaranteed. So we are making plans for that. And we had our annual operating plan meeting with the counties and states. And we had that a couple weeks ago over here in the Johnson County building shed. So really good meeting and met some nice people over there. And you know, everybody has the same goal to minimize the impacts of wildfire. And on that aspect, the watershed project, we are looking at burning one unit up there this spring. That's about 80-90 acres, and it's right behind the YMCA of the Bighorns. So depending on, you know, weather conditions, we were looking at 2 weeks out, and you know, this is obviously going to delay it, so hopefully, you know, we still have that window and things don't dry out too quick and we're still able up there to do that work. So the last thing too is with the drought, you know, depending on how it plays out, it could impact the livestock grazing and the herbivores on the forest. So I know in Idaho, we get drought-like conditions, it would shorten their seasons. So that could come into play, but uncertain. And then the last one is the Whole Creek decision was signed in November. And so we're looking at, there won't be any sales in there this year. We could look at some burning, or we have some other work to do in there before we can start burning, but I want to say the timber program manager in the SO said late 26, early 27 would be the first sale coming out of the Whole Creek decision. So, and with that, you know, we're still coordinating with the state, the Good Neighbor program, trying to maximize our dollars, maximize our personnel to be able to get good work done on the ground. That was really all I had. It sounded like you may have had some other concerns as well. Or
are you guys going to have fire crews still full staff there?
Yeah, our 10-person module is fully staffed. There's some of them are down in the south right now helping out, but you know, when conditions arise, they'll be back in for forest initial attack and whatever else we have for them to do.
In regards to Pole Creek, I guess, again, I want to reiterate the county's position and also the position of most of the recreationists here, that making sure that if there is any timber or fuels work done in that area, that we don't degrade the recreational area. There's been thousands of dollars and man hours invested in those trails in that Nordic ski area. And it was really kind of unfortunate that when the last forest plan was done, that that wasn't designated as a recreation specific area. Certainly that's something that we may look at asking down the road for an amendment to protect that area. I think that probably could be a category of exemption or done very easily. But what I do want to visit with you is just your thoughts on dispersed camping, and then we can pivot and talk the Borderless Collaborative and the work that was done there, and some, I guess, new discussions we've had actually with Chief Moore right before he left, and certainly we've had with Andrew Johnson about finally getting those acres out of purgatory, and because it's hard when you're 500 acres is roaded, but 500,000 acres is roaded, but it's in roadless.
Right. So on that, I can touch a little bit on the roadless. I know back in 18 when I was here, there was basically it was a free for all. You could camp anywhere, you could leave camp in the forest for basically all summer and then come and go. And so I know that the forest implemented a 14-day stay rule, and then after that, they have to move 5 miles. And then I know our rec folks are out there checking campers and counting number of days and monitoring that to eliminate the overstays and impacts to the land. And so other than that, I'll have to do some more digging to see what else we have going on, but I will figure that out and have a better answer for you next time, because I don't know what else we're doing besides that. And as far as the roadless area, I met with Andrew twice on that now, and we're going to get a little group together to look at what we're in, what we have for roadless now, what can be, and then present that and work on getting those acres removed. It's going to take a while to do it, but it's something that's on our radar and we're looking at doing, because as you said, there's a lot of roaded area in the roadless area. And so if we can get that out, and it's all suitable timberland. And so go in there and start doing, whether it's timber removal, timber thinning, prescribed fire, you know, do all of those treatments on landscape to, you know, make it more resilient to large scale fire, insect and disease, and all kinds of stuff. So it's
good.
It's on our radar.
That's very reassuring.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to replace your LEO?
Right now, there is no freeze on hiring law enforcement type personnel. So I did talk to Dave Hartman, I think that was his last name, the other day, and they are looking into replacing him. And he's talked to a couple local individuals that are interested. It's just a matter of getting it through the process and getting it advertised. So eventually, yes, I don't know what the time frame is, though.
Have any questions on the road project? Or
I just say I'm glad to hear that it's the same contractor, and you guys must have scaled back your project a little bit.
I don't have an answer for that. I just know we have.
Because I think there was two structures and some retaining walls and stuff. I was kind of hoping maybe we'd be done with ours by the 1st of June, but I haven't seen that scheduled yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can verify if it's working. Yeah. And I give it to you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is. We've got that permitted parking lot on Hazleton Road. Mm-hmm. We will get started on some of that hard surfacing and stuff this summer, probably in mid to late July. Just depends on how things go. That permits for 10 acres. We'll probably develop probably an acre and a half, 2 acres. So that will be going on. So like I said, look forward to the Crazy Woman project. Sounds like maybe we can get in there. And I should have said problem project. But it sounds like we're going to be able to get in there and get it done and get it back open, so that'll be nice.
Yeah.
So look forward to that. So.
Yeah, I've been on that road one time, and it was a neat little road.
Yeah, it is. So,
yeah.
It is. And the whole project, so everybody knows, they're not going in, and I mean, it's going to stay like it is. It's just updating some structures and so forth. And you guys done a bunch of work in there last year with some turnouts and so forth and some surfacing.
so forth. So this is just kind of a continuum and so on. I know you got a bridge you're replacing and then a bottomless culvert you were looking at, and some retaining walls. But that was broke out to be, I don't know what you're doing and what you're not. So it sounds like you're doing the structure. So.
Yeah, I have to reconfirm with Chris again what we're doing.
Like I said, I'm pretty excited to hear that it's the same contractor, so that'll make coordination go very well, because we do have two landowners that will impact. We have one that's a permanent one, and then we have the one that's a, kind of a summer use too, which I've been in very lengthy contact with both of those. So it should go well.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
Commissioners, additional questions?
No.
Well, we look forward to a great working relationship, continuation of the Bighorn Mountain Coalition, and just moving forward. So we're always available. Our door is always open. We believe in a strong partnership, so we look forward to working with you.
Okay. No, I appreciate it as well. And then, you know, my phone is always on as well, so anytime you need anything, feel free to reach out. So, appreciate your time.
Hi.
I don't know about that. All right, our next item is discussion on the Plan 1 Park Deck contract for the Casey Library project. Mr. Ruby, come on up.
They skipped one.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I don't have a tab, so that means I don't have your contract, or it's in the wrong.
You don't.
Okay.
I just have it. May I approach?
You may.
Your Honor. So that's a contract with VOA for the Johnson County Alternative Treatment Court Program. It's a contract we do every year. It's a little late this year. We were trying to figure out a few different things. The baseline is. They contract with us for 7 spots, provide the counseling for 7 spots, and we pay them $20,000 plus another $5,000 and change for running the Thinking for a Change program. All the money is provided by a state grant. The overseer for the grant has changed. It's now the Supreme Court, so that's kind of made it a little different. There's some more structure and some other things to it. It probably will change, I think, in coming years, but this one will run through July of this year, and so it's just a matter of getting some things figured out, getting it on paper so we can provide it to the state, because they're stuck on wanting to have that. We've had a good relationship with VOA. We've worked with them for years as the providers for this service, and we've been able to contract with them every year to do the same thing. It may change based on changing demographics and other things like that, but I just need your signature and Jackie's signature, and then I can transmit that back to them as the state, and we should be good to go. But it's the same contract we've had in years past.
Questions for Mr. Ruby on the program or the funding?
No.
Will we approve the contract?
There's a motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the Volunteers of America contract for Alternative Treatment Court. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ruby. All right, now we'll discuss the library.
Well, we were on the agenda at 5:10, and she's probably coming in from the ranch. I don't know if we want me to, if we delay it, or...
We can roll through other items. Yep.
I can do it. But
not a problem at all.
I mean, it's hurt, maybe.
All right. Commissioners, before you is a series of catering permits. The first is a request for June 3rd for Frontier Ironworks from Cowboy Bar and Grill. Looks like the next request is for, again, Cowboy Bar and Grill for the Arna Wedding, June 20th at Upper French Creek Road. The Range War. June 19th at the Johnson County Fairgrounds. This is from Callie Munson. This is a malt beverage permit. This is not a catering permit. Ms. Munson also is planning to do another range war July 17th. That is a malt beverage at the fairgrounds. And then again on the 21st of August at the fairgrounds. So let's, we'll deal with the catering permits first, and then we can do the malt beverage second. Madam Clerk, are all fees paid and all forms in order?
Forms are in, they're all correct, and the fees are have been made.
Commissioners, what's your pleasure on catering permits for June 7th for Frontier Ironworks and June 20th for the Arno wedding? Both of these for Carla Harper with Cowboy Bar and Grill.
I move to approve the catering permits.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, now you have before you three malt beverage permits, again, June 19th, July 17th, and August 21st from Cali Munsick for the Johnson County Fairgrounds for the Range War Rodeo.
Motion to approve.
Second.
There is a motion and a second to approve the malt beverage permits. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now we see our friends from the library.
Sorry guys, the roads were a little worse than I anticipated.
You totally understand. County Attorney's Office had a chance to review this for you guys?
Yep.
Very nice.
Okay.
I have.
All right. Can you just walk us through the IN who was selected, what kind of the plan is, time frame for deliverables and...
Well, one of the reasons that the board went with Plan 1 is because of their attention to the time frame. This is such a tight timeline.
There's a page toward the back that has the timeline for the graph of what they, at least that's what, as I remember in our discussion, the proposal that they sent us, kind of a timeline of the events that they were proposing. Is it in this document or is it in this one? But that was the primary benefit of having them, is that they had it pretty dialed in. They scored the highest in our group. Rubric in terms of the experience, the firm's experience and their work examples, the experience with type of project specified in the RNP, proven capacity to deliver the project requirements on time and on budget, past satisfactory work awarded by the Johnson County. That was one of the big ones, is that they had the most experience. And then the proposal fee, proposed fee proposal, it was pretty much all across the board the excellent rating. So there was another one that was very good, but that one was rated the best out of all of the six priorities that we had scored.
All right, and I do see there's a couple of Buffalo firms involved, which is always good to see.
Mm-hmm. With our lack of experience, we didn't know that you could actually specify items like that. We didn't realize that we could ask for references for, or, you know, to include local. That was something we didn't know that we could ask for. We received some instructions from somebody who had recommended that, sat in on our meeting that commented on, you know, we could have put that in there if we'd known to do it. So that certainly played a part in one of our board members' decisions. She said, I'm really weighing back and forth between the two that came in because there are references to specific people from the local construction and engineering groups. And then we looked and there were, you know, some of the same people listed. So that needs to be.
So it looks like max in 187 for the design. And
yeah, and that was also something why they scored very high in that category. They had the most specific breakdown and inclusive for cost.
All right. Mr. Krekel, will the commissioners sign this or will the library director? What's your pleasure?
So, Mr. Chairman, I think that's totally up to you. I think in the past, the commissioners have typically signed this because at the end of the day, it's your checkbook that will, you know, be paying for some of it or whatever, however you want to look at that. But that's up to you right now. The signature says the Johnson County Library System, which even that's probably not quite right. I mean, we need to change the signature block to either have you or the chairman of the library board sign it, but you know, I know in the past it's been the commissioners. That was one of my questions in reviewing the document. It's still in draft form, actually, and there's quite a few questions. I mean, I'll get with Lindsay and we'll walk through it and probably just get on the phone with the architect and walk through what we need to answer. I mean, I got a bunch of blanks and just in various spots that we need to answer, a couple little things that I don't like. I mean, it's a standard agreement, standard contract. We've used these before. It's nothing major, but there's a few little things I'd like to address with the architect before we sign it. But we can do that. I think they have a, you know, they have a board meeting next week. If you're going to sign it, I think they, what I would say is we can, you know, nothing that I'm suggesting changing is going to affect the substantive part of the contract. It's just some little, you know, dotting I's, crossing T's, and filling in the blanks, literally, because it is a draft. They haven't made the choices on some of these alternatives within the contract where you know, it has a blank and you got to put check here or check here. They haven't done that in some of them, and so we need to clear that up. I think I know the intent, but it needs to be written down. So, to answer your question, it's up to you, Mr. Chairman, and the other commissioners to decide how you want to do that. And in consultation with the library, I don't know how they feel about it, but.
Well, I guess the question would be in terms of time frame, is it more expeditious to have you go ahead and approve it so that you're going with it and then have Barry provide the details as we go forward? Is that whatever the most expeditious way to do this is? From my perspective, because we are such, it is so tight.
Well, Commissioners, my recommendation would be that we approve it and authorize the chair of the library board, after consultation with the county attorney's office, to sign it at their next meeting. If in some reason they can't get that completed, then we'll be back here on the 1st of April so we could deal with it then. But just trying to keep you, because I know you have to get site prep done to meet the requirements of the grant. So,
yeah, just for clarification, I am the vice chair. Jenny Bakken is the chair, but she can't make it today. So, and Lindsay can barely make it. She came, but she has better. She's getting worked with all of them. Me and Jenny are working on the contract and the details of it. So, I'm more or less at moral support too.
She's
fine.
We like moral support.
Anyway, but I just think that we can do it as quickly as possible. That would be the best thing.
We should go ahead and sign it. And let Barry get everything cleaned up. And that way we can keep moving on it.
Okay, so I'm hearing there was motion to approve the library.
And continue with Barry.
Sound good.
That works. I'll work with Lindsay and the board, and we'll get it finalized in the next, you know, by their meeting next week. I think they're meeting next week. So,
so to restate that, the motion is that move to approve the contract to be signed by the chair. chair of the library board after review from the county attorney's office. Is that?
That's correct.
Okay.
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Any discussion or questions from the board on that path forward?
No.
Commissioners, any further discussion? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you all for your guidance.
Thank you for your hard work on advancing this project.
Did you ever think the day would come?
Yes, I've been confident. Thank you.
I've been breaking stone instead of ground, but it's gonna get done.
Next item is renewal of the Cow Guard liquor license. I see the Buckleys are here if you'd like to come forward and update the county on what your plan is.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. And if you could just introduce yourself for the clerk so it can get into the official minutes.
This is my wife, Deb Buckley.
My husband, Dan.
Ms. Jackie asked us to put together a brief business plan for this meeting and come and visit with y'all. I think everyone got a copy of that, is that correct? Okay, there was, Jackie sent us out a letter and there was several issues that required attention, and first off and foremost, need to apologize for that because a couple of those did slip by us, and so we can just share that with you if you'd want. Most of all,
please
down through that. All right. We all understand that the liquor license, at its present status, will expire as of the 30th of this month. We did submit the check for that for the 1 year renewal on that. So. It looks like I filled out that application a little bit incorrectly. So we'd like to first share our intent with you, and that is to, we'd like to keep the, we'd like to keep the license, and we'd like to extend that inoperative period for an additional year, and then carry on and explain the law. For that, but on the application, we'd certainly like to have an opportunity to amend that application and correct that discrepancy on there. It's relatively minor. The business down there is set up as with two separate LLCs, one entity owning the property and the building and the cattle guard. So that's under Smoke and Bee LLC, which is still Deb and I. And the other one is under the Cattle Guard Steakhouse and Saloon LLC, which is only under the sales from that property. So, and I don't have any defense, but then I'm thinking, okay, well, we own both of those, so I checked the box, and it looks like it lended itself to look like that it was owned by the Smoking Bee LLC and not the other one, the steakhouse. So, if we can, we'd like to amend that. We'd like to move forward with retaining the license. That's our priority here. And then there was another issue down there on the letter that Jackie sent, some concerns over the property taxes being paid on that property. Deb has since paid one half of those property taxes, and the other ones will be paid on or before the 10th of May.
The first.
Yeah, it'd be right on the first of the month. But is there any questions on that part of it? Probably make it too clear. On the reopening of the cattle guard, there's a few things that are coming into play there. And just to give you all some oversight, I listed some of the building modifications. And I want you to know it's just not cosmetics. When you have a business like that, and we took over business that had been operated by different parties, there's different operating philosophies and management structures and that type of thing. we tried to make it work for our intent and our operating type of structure. It wasn't really working. We looked at the bottlenecks. When you have a business like that, you look at what's costing you money, what's not moving, what's inoperative. So looking at all of those, we looked at bottlenecks and what was costing us, and that's the driver behind the remodeling effort, is to increase the lounge slash, you're gonna have a saloon end. We had more of a waiting area, which was the lobby, as most of us know that had been in that facility. And a lot of people asked, well, it sure be nice if we could just come in and get a small meal or a late meal or something and have a drink or whatever. We weren't set up that was conducive to that. Everybody would go in the dining room. And then there was a lot of travelers just in and out that didn't want to utilize the dining room. So looking at that and the way that old building was set up and structured, the bathrooms being right in the lobby, right there and small, almost inoperative, thought, okay, that's a good opportunity to remove the bathrooms, and then on the east side, put in a three-sided structure to be able to offer a drive-through liquor sales. We had numerous requests for that type of thing, and we just didn't do it. We didn't set up while we're involved in dinner service to have people walk in and out with packaged liquor and stuff. It was not really displaying very good business type structure. So that would afford us an opportunity to do the same thing, all while increasing the liquor sales significantly. I'm saying between rough estimates between 50 to 75% of what they were increased then. Okay, then having said that, that would require to move back to the south end of the building and install new bathrooms, which needed to be done drastically. If anyone here's been, that kitchen is just huge. Unnecessary. We want to scale down the venue, the offering. We want to put more automated equipment in there to downsize the staff, increase efficiency, and continue with continuity of the product that we're selling. So that would afford us the opportunity to do all of that. Bathrooms would be at the back, by themselves, out of the way, nicer, more convenient for the ladies and that type of thing, while still affording us plenty of room to do what we need to do on the kitchen side. I put in here, that's just flip-flopping the bathroom side over to what was used to be the dishwashing side, because that's got all your drains and your plumbing over there, and then moving the dishwashing side to the west side of the building. So then I went on down to say operational modifications. Having operated that business for 2 years plus, we evaluated all this. We were too trusting when we bought it, I'll be honest. And some of the equipment stuff that we bought with that facility was worn out when we walked in there. And so, and some of it was the table sitting. So we put linens and everything on it. Our linen bill was atrocious for something like that. So that was an overhead. It was nice to offer everyone who wanted a clean, restful, polite, and relaxing atmosphere, and that did enable us to do that, but it was cost prohibitive. The other thing was credit card machines. Credit card machines would average, Deb and I, over 30,000 in a year's time. Yeah, it was just outrageous. And we went through two different providers on that. Their equipment is very unreliable. When is it going to break down on Friday night or Saturday? So that was bad. We want to move away from that. The employees, we have touched on this ourselves. We made our plan. We have talked with former employees. 95% of our former employees are anxious to return. That's not an issue. They're anxious to assume additional roles and other roles, which will help us scale down on the employee staff tremendously. And then the last item on there we're going to address is our menu. While it was large, it was nice for a steakhouse. We got a lot of variety. We want to retain a good degree of the variety. We want to offer some new menu items, and then we want to scale it down a little bit so it's more conducive, as I mentioned earlier, for the saloon side of it. So more tying the whole operation together. We don't want to offer just, you know, a pub menu and then a dinner menu and stuff like that. Just keep it uniform. A large degree of the menu items that we were offering before, cost related. We want to offer really, really good food, but we want to scale that down a little bit and save. Our food supplies costs were unequivocally the largest factor in our P&L statements of anything. That and our salaries. So we had to address those two areas. So looking at the entirety of everything we just laid out on here is, when do you do that? There's major changes, you have to come in and shut down for a week here, or a month here, or do a whole restructuring on your staff. The best thing to do, in our eyes, and for multiple reasons, is to close the business down, get our ducks in a row, evaluate this, put our plan together, financial plan, everything internally, and then lay it out and rebrand the Gallagher. So that's what our overall intention is. Ms. Jackie asked when we would foresee this to be completed, and the best offer that we can get, we've targeted this all along, is in the fourth quarter of this year. There's a lot of factors there. We're still getting some bids. We're still finalizing some drawings on some napkins that we can show the contract. No, we have decent drawings. But anyway, with contractors, availability, and being able to really massage and evaluate these bids, it's taken longer than we anticipated. So some of those factors are why it's going to drag out. A lot of it on the work that is going to be undertaken, I'll be doing myself and with help of others. So that's about the best I can give you all on the time frame.
So is the property still for sale then, or is it off the market?
We had the property for sale, and let me back up. Everybody says, Dan, why did you put the property up for sale? Why did you get rid of all of the equipment stuff? Well, there's two reasons on the equipment. The stuff that we got rid of was not adequate, okay? And initially, this is my own mistake. Initially, we had a rock-solid buyer come to us and wanted that building really bad and wanted to change it into small office rental cubicles. And cash money ready to go, and so he didn't want any of that equipment stuff in there. Well, I jumped the gun before I had ink on paper. So that's okay, that kind of started the ball rolling. So in answer to your question, Jason, the property right now, we've had a lot of interest in that property. Once it gets down to the bottom line, and once it gets down to, is the liquor license available, is it not? And when it gets right down to the goal, I haven't gotten any ink on paper. I've had a lot of silly, and bore y'all to tears with this, crazy requests or opportunities for sale. So we did that, and we really, really, really here just recently thought we had another one. Thought it was another dead ringer, so thought, okay, we'll go ahead and leave the sign up for a while, but the sign will be coming down. It's one of itself, unless somebody circles in behind us and flanks us and really wants it. That's the plan.
Dan, I have one question. Your business plan here states that you plan to be reopened by fourth quarter of 2026. Should that be 2025?
Oh, yes, it should be. Okay. Sorry, Jackie.
That's a typo.
Mr. and Mrs. Buckley, when did you notify the Liquor Commission that you were going to go inactive?
You know, I don't think I did. No, I don't.
I mean, my bills were all paid up full. I didn't know I had to. I'm sorry.
So, the 24th of March of 2024, you did not notify the Liquor Commission that you were going inactive and you wouldn't be remitting sales tax or having additional liquor purchases?
No, sir.
When is the last time that you submitted sales tax to the Rhode Island Department of Revenue?
I just found a bill. It was like the end of January I found it. And normally my accountants weren't doing those. And it was like for $34.29. That was it. And I submitted that. If they got that by the 1st of February.
So the liquor license that was attached to this building has not generated sales tax since February of 2024, is that correct?
No, it would have been in March.
So did you remit sales tax to
the... Yes, I paid the Liquor Commission and everybody.
So can you tell us when the last remittance of sales tax to this...
I would have to get with the accountants. I'm quite sure it was probably by the end of the second quarter. That's usually... We did our quarterly reports and everything. And they usually... Well, if you... It would have been by the end of April is when it should have been paid. On the sales tax, that's right. Because I believe you've got 30 days to process.
This business previously had just operated with a restaurant liquor license. The retail license was added, I believe, in 2015 or 2016. Would there be any reason why you shouldn't, when you are ready to reopen it with just a restaurant liquor license like it had operated with in the past?
That comes back to the remodeling to offer the off-sale for the motels. You know, you get a lot of people where they want a six-pack to go. Myself, I was not fully understanding the total license, so I didn't do a lot of off-sale. There's periods where towards the end of the night somebody would walk over, well, can we get a six pack to go? Okay. That makes sense. I mean, you have a lot of little kids in that lobby. The only place that they could purchase it was in the little cubicle of the bar.
Yeah, that's the thing with that, isn't it? If you have just a regular liquor license, now we're not super versed on this liquor license aspect at all, but the way we do understand it is then we would be restricted to do any on-site sales. That's just for the restaurant area. So it wouldn't even be feasible or necessary to have a lounge or anything in there. And that's the other thing that we looked at very strongly when we purchased that property, was to be able to offer that if business owners want to come and have a drink. Grab finger food, pug food, whatever you want to call it, something like that, snap before they're going to their motel or even town, whatever the case might be, then we'd be able to offer that type of thing. So I know that there's a lot of restaurants here in town that have that type of thing, and the restaurant business is tough. I mean, let's just be honest. With anything, you have to look at every option that you possibly can to turn it all around. So, you know, we've had so many suggestions, people saying, hey, you should just turn it into a pool hall or something like that. Well, sorry, but we didn't want that venue. We don't want it. And I don't think the place, well, Deb and I aren't sports bar people, so we want to have it as a big sports bar. We wanted to have it as a comfortable dining indoor lounge experience for that. And then the way that the plan is that we looked at it, the building is set up just perfect for a
three-sided enclosure, bingo, you've got a drive-up window access right there, so we've got the license for that, let's just move forward with that at the same time, so that's kind of our discussion.
So the drive-up's going on the east side?
Yeah.
Okay, because I have a little experience on that side of the building over there, and I know that that easement's really tight, and there's been some issues with John and everybody with that easement coming through, is that gonna be?
No, Jeff, it's gonna be completely on our property, and the way that the parking lot is laid out, you have that center section where you have diagonal parking in the center, there's none in adjacent to the building there, and there's none in the back where we have the dumpster enclosure and that type of thing. So yes, I've driven that many times, you can make the full loop, not disturb any traffic, and he's right through there. It's a perfect side, you're in the off-wind side, it gets just a small percentage of what the rest of the lot gets for snow, so that's good. And then the, once again, employees, the person that's behind the bar can see, hear the bell, whatever, and take care of the drive-up window. It's not, shouldn't be that frequent, so. No, I think by far it'll be the best side to do it on. We had looked at the west side adjacent to the co-op facility. That's not the plan. So.
But there's no issues coming, you're not gonna be passing through that easement, because I know that that's been an issue before.
No, we're gonna ask them to move their building a little bit. They're encroaching on us, Darrell.
No, it should be an easy flow. Pull in, inside, make your loop down.
Because I mean, parking before was always tight, because I'd end up with a bunch of them in my parking lot.
Well, that's true, and adversely, we've had to ask a lot of the folks that work over there in the meat line now to not park there. Boy, it got rougher for a while. They filled up that whole east line and park on the inside. No, I don't see that as a real problem, because we still have the front and back. We have a very good relationship with the co-op. You know how I used to get long and down that side.
And now that they're closed.
Yeah, that's just what you're faced with. You've got to be a good neighbor.
Yeah. There was a time that was ugly out there.
Yeah.
Before I bought it, they had chains and all kinds of stuff blocking off all the driveways.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
And we have a wonderful rapport with John in the back. John, just aside, when I was talking to him the other day, he might actually consider selling that property, and he's retiring from the business. So. Never been an issue at all.
Who is John?
The honey guy.
Oh, okay.
I can't get his last name.
All right.
That was bad because they had great honey, too.
But he lost all his bees.
Commissioners, any additional questions? I have some questions for the county attorney, so I see he's got his green book out. So, Mr. Craigle, my concern is that under state statute, they would need to be operational by the 30th of this month. Because in going back, the correspondence I see, last submission of sales tax was maybe 331. They unfortunately have not been, they have not been operational for a calendar year. So I don't know legally if they meet the requirement of being operational to award the license.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'd need to talk to our counterparts probably in the AG's office or within the liquor division, because there is a clause down there where it says any license or permit in violation of this paragraph shall not be renewed by the local licensing authority, and once the enterprise is operational or open for business, no license shall be eligible to repeat the grace period made available by this paragraph without the consent of the local licensing authority due to extraordinary circumstances.
I don't know what that means, to be honest. And so I guess I'd need to run that by some of our friends in Cheyenne before I give you a hard and fast answer. On initial blush, I agree. but I think we probably ought to find out exactly what that means. And I mean, it goes on to say, for purposes of this paragraph, remain operational means operational consecutively in any license term for 12 months or for not less than 3 months if determined by the local licensing authority to be a seasonal operation, which this is not. So it's 12 consecutive months.
We have several seasonal windows, our guest ranches or our mountain lodges. So that's how they stay compliant.
I mean, we've always operated under the assumption you can park a license for a year, and that's sort of it. This one's been parked for essentially for that long already, or close to it. The question is, can with your approval it be parked longer than that? And then the question behind that is whether you want to park it longer than that.
But in reading that, it sounds like it would be maximum of 3 months.
No.
Okay.
No. That's my question for the Attorney General's office would be in the liquor division. How long, with your approval, can it be parked? I don't know the answer based on that language.
When I spoke to the liquor division, my interpretation, at least of what they said, was that state statute is 1 year, and the licensing authority has the option to extend that up to 1 year, but I'm not sure that that's what that statute is in. So,
well, part of it is the initial part of the reason I'm a little hesitant to give you a straight answer, that typically the parking has to do a lot of times while a building's being built, right? You buy a liquor license, you say you're gonna upgrade the building, that takes up to a year. That's an automatic. You don't have to have permission from the local licensing authority. Then they can give you another year after you're operational, or before you're operational, but it has to be approved by the local licensing authority. So there's actually a 2 year, the 1 year's automatic, you can get another year. I think that's what the clerk is saying. My question for them is, this operation, this particular liquor license, already been in operation. We're not talking about a new operation. So that's why I guess I need to ask. I can report back and get an answer.
Would it be in their better interest to have restructured, resubmitted as a new entity, or? But that would almost be skirting the law.
Yeah, I don't think that helps anything.
Commissioners, do you have questions for the attorney, or?
So we can extend this 1 year past?
I need to find out. I don't have an answer. Because the extraordinary circumstances language at the end of that, this could qualify for that. Because as I read it, the first year, which has already happened, isn't tied to a new facility or restructuring or rebuilding a new facility. They made a business decision that's different than what the statute outlines. And so I just need to make sure that you legally can do it. I mean, obviously, neither the state nor the county want liquor licenses sitting there, right? They're no good to you. They're an income generator for both you and the state, and so there's a push within the statute to make sure they're operational at all times as long as they can be. That's a balance against the property right of the liquor license to some degree, right? There's some property right within the liquor license. That's how the statutes are set up, but only to a certain degree. And if you're not using it, then you lose the right. I mean, that's essentially what it boils down to. And you have to have a very good reason for not using it, which is outlined in the statute. My question is, and I just need to ask one of the attorneys with the liquor division about that, which I can do shortly. Definitely by our next meeting.
Okay. I have one additional question. Nan, since you found out that you needed to amend that application, have you took the steps to do that, or is it still the way it was?
No, sir. Jackie has that application, I believe, and I thought that she asked if we could make sure and be at this meeting, so I thought, why don't we just do it then, so.
Mr. Kregel, because it is a new application, does it have to go through the advertising process that the previous application?
I think they can amend it. I don't think, I mean, okay. They followed all of the other.
It's just a matter of correcting the
check the wrong box.
Yeah, I think that you can allow them to amend the application to change that. It's a minor change. I don't see that as a problem.
The way I read this, it's still Calgar Steakhouse. It's just the section at the bottom of page one, building ownership.
Yeah.
That was filled out.
So, do we have a copy of the lease between Calgar Steakhouse and the property owner?
No, sir, we do not. And I'm not sure if that's down at the accounts. Deb and I talked about it before. I did offer you the P&L from 23. Our taxes are still being done in 24 that shows the building rent there on our tax return.
And Mr. Buckley, I ask that because that's one of the questions that you're going to need to show on the application. You need to indicate on this application the page number and paragraph that that lease is stipulated in.
Yeah.
So I don't even believe this is fully complete.
It will not be. They'll have to fill in additional language. But did you, just a quick question, when you first applied for the license or put it in the name of Cavalier, was there a lease on file?
I think there should be.
Oh, I was going to say, I remember it was being asked for, but.
I think there should be.
What year was that? I can look back.
Well, we bought it in 21. So it would have been in 22. I mean, 21 rolling over to 22.
Well, we wouldn't have requested a copy of the lease.
No,
if you
haven't
been checked, yes, that you own it, we wouldn't have asked for a copy.
No, I think, Vicki called me and we had one from that. I'll look.
We'll still need a probably updated version and all this needs to be filled out.
So, Vicki had that discussion.
Because the lease has to show that the term of the lease for the liquor license matches. So it can't be that there has to be continuity between what the lease says and what your application says.
Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure, yeah.
Commissioners, I know we're coming up on a hard stop because we have to talk with our mineral bankruptcy attorney. I would recommend that we leave this on the table to allow the Buckleys to submit a corrected copy of their application that includes the page and the term of the lease, as well as an updated copy of that, and also give Mr. Kregel the opportunity to get clarification from the Attorney General's on that extraordinary circumstances paragraph. Unless you choose to go another avenue, you can renew it now. It is up to you.
I think we're just getting time to get the paper and everything done right.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's do that.
And then we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
I just got a couple questions. We have time. I want to make sure I understand that your property is coming off the market. It's not going to be for sale.
Unless you bring me a buyer today.
Pardon?
I said, unless you bring me a buyer today.
Okay.
Yes, sir, you're correct.
Okay. Have you talked to anyone or entertained any thoughts about selling your liquor license to someone?
We've had two parties approach us on that, Mr. Kozak. And once again, we've explained everything under the sun to them about that license that we are aware of. And they backed out of it. But let me ask you a question on that note. This one party was very, very interested. There was the question of money. We were asking 50% of what we were told, what Deb was told by the Liquor Commission, that a license like that would go for. And but if a party buys that and doesn't attach an address to that license, I mean, they have to attach some kind of license, okay? So then they stay inoperative for whatever reason, like we're just discussing. What is the point, and the reason why I say this, I know the party very well, what would the point of purchasing a license like that be, just to sit on it for a year in hopes of selling it again and making a little money on it? I didn't understand that.
It's kind of counterintuitive.
Some people look at it as an investment because, you know, they do generate money. That's the whole purpose. And,
but if they don't use it.
Right, yeah,
but they're not going to buy it and try to sell it to somebody else.
Well, my understanding, I have not done this before, but if you were to sell it to somebody, that transfer would have to be approved by the Board of Commissioners. So there would be a process they would have to go through in order for you to sell that, so which would include what the plan is.
Yes, ma'am, and I understand that, and I would understand that that's the way it would be done. And but just knowing the parties, two parties that approached me personally, They didn't have the means in which to do that. They hadn't discussed any plans whatsoever. So I just kind of walked away scratching my head. I didn't see the validity in them purchasing it. So, but they didn't do it anyways.
I'm going to make a motion that we just table this until information received from the county attorney's office. That what we want to do.
That. It's already been tabled, and
oh,
so,
okay.
Commissioner Kroshek, you would move to take it from the table if you wanted to take action on it, and so we can leave it on the table. It remains on the table until.
When do you plan on starting your remodeling?
Well, I don't mean to be evasive, but that's kind of contingent on some of these contracts. I've never in my life, and I've been in construction business all my life, run into so many different issues with contractors. Right? There's some good ones, and they're busy, and you can't get on their docket. So bottom line is two things, is sourcing out a contractor that I feel is adequate. I've used two for minor stuff down there. Neither one of those fall into that category. So I've got two more to discuss with, and one more bid to come in on the plumbing side of it. So having said that, I'm hoping to get more actively busy on that, probably within the next month, maybe month and a half, the best guess. Does that kind of help answer your question?
Yeah, just curious, because, you know, it is back to, you know, obligation of the licensors, tax, the state, county.
Sure.
You know, it's just sitting there that we're taking away from the county and the state.
Right, right. And I don't want to do that, but we're going to do this. We're going to give it a shot and make sure it's right. And in that, I don't know, it's kind of gone around and around and around a lot of different advice that we've gotten. People have lived there and been there a long, long time. And that hasn't been the best advice. So the whole beauty of what I proposed on here, what we've looked at so much and talked with some others, is that it's 99% all material. That doesn't take that. So I'm not concerned with that. Inside of 2 months, that could be complete with giving the right contractors. So.
And I am sorry, but we do need to move. We have a hard schedule with folks who's going to be on Zoom. So we will make our conference room available just down the hall for anybody that wants to wait. We do have a couple items still on the agenda. We have vouchers, public comment, and then we had a letter come in from the City of Buffalo about the CJC that we'll need to make a decision on. So there will be actions after we return back into regular session. But commissioners, is there a motion to move into executive session pursuant to pending litigation?
Second.
Move in second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we'll give everybody. It is 12:20. We'll resume regular business. There's just a couple of items left on the agenda. The first is public comment. Is there any public comment? Hearing none, I'll close the public comment. We did have one addition to the agenda. We received a letter from the City of Buffalo to the Joint Powers Board, and so we just need to give our clerk to the Joint Powers Board, which is Kristen, some direction on how much to request from the City of Buffalo for the Criminal Justice Center Joint Powers Board. Last year it was $35,000. Are we amenable to that? Do you feel we need to increase that based on inflation, or?
I think we still have some left over, don't we?
Yeah, our current balance is at $206,000
and some $100. Do you want to leave it the same at $35,000? Or do you want to go down a little bit?
I think it's been $35,000. I guess I would caution rating your reserves if you lose boiler over there, you suddenly don't have $200,000 in reserves.
Yeah.
One of those rooftop.
Who would keep it $35,000?
Second.
There's a motion and a second to request $35,000 for the Criminal Justice Center Joint Powers Board. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Kristen, if you can prepare all the additional documents that the city's asked for, and then it's due the 4th.
Okay.
All right. Final item on the agenda is vouchers. Like vouchers have been presented in the amount of $535,445.50. Are there any vouchers that the commissioners would like to pull for further discussion?
No. Move to approve.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve the vouchers. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Is there any additional business that needs to be transacted?
Hearing none, I move to adjourn.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.